Could please have every. If we could please have everybody come in and sit down. We're about to begin this ceremony. If everybody could please come and sit down, we're gonna begin the program. It's too loud. It's too loud, or is there an echo in here? Too loud. Menno, they say it's too loud. Man, you guys are gonna hate it when the rappers come, because they're gonna be talking in your face. Test. Is that too loud still? Yes. So you want me to stand from right here and talk? Does this sound good right here? Okay. Yes? All right, I'm gonna stay a little bit behind. I'm just gonna start, so hopefully everybody will sit down as we continue. Can you hear me now? How's that? Yes? Just a call and response. Can I get a yes? Thank you. That's some indigenous culture for you right there. Go ahead, man, clap it up. It's all right. Come on. It's supposed to be a family thing. My name is Fidel Rodriguez. I host and produce a hip hop show. It's been in LA for about 5 years, and now it's on KPFK on Friday nights from midnight to 3 a.m. And we focus on the politically conscious hip hop, not the stuff you see on MTV. We come with the real stuff. I am not the engineer of this. Menon. Okay. I'd like to open up this program with a prayer to the ancestors. A lot of us think that maybe this 9/11 thing is something that has just, you know, been happening for the past few months. But as a Native American of this land from the Chumash Nation and with deep Mexican roots, this stuff has been happening for 509 years. For 509 years, the conquest has continued. So in our tradition, and as in many traditions around the world, our ancestors are a reflection of us. And we have always worshiped and honored our ancestors, for we will once live and leave this third dimension world and move on to the other dimension where our ancestors live and guide us and want us to essentially come together as a human race to begin to change the world of what's happening with Mother Earth right now. So I will read a prayer in the Ifa tradition of Nigeria that is to the ancestors. If I can have everybody please close their eyes. Egungun kiki egungun. Eguniku ran ran fe. Awoku apwepwe. O da so bonfu lewo. Eguniku batabango egunde. Bia ba fatori nale. Egun athede ache. Praise to the mediums of the ancestors. Ancestors that have preserved the mystery of the featherless flight. You create the words of reverence and power. The drums of the ancestors announce the arrival of the ancestors. On the strong mat you spread your power. The ancestors are here. May it be so. Ashe. I want to introduce Blaise Bompain.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Pacifica was established to be an integral part of the peace movement. We will once again see it as an integral part of the peace movement. Pacifica was established to be a voice for the voiceless, and we will once again see it as a voice of the voiceless. It was always designed to be the other side, the side we don't hear, the other side of commercial communication, and we want it to continue to be that because we have to hear the voices of 34,000 people who die every day of hunger, and so many innocent victims of a war now taking place in Afghanistan. We have to speak on their behalf as well, and we will continue to do that. That's where KPFK and Pacifica is going. I'm not going to take much of your time because we're already starting late, so I want to introduce three people who should be sitting up here now, and if they don't have a note excusing themselves, I'm going to introduce all three of them together. First of all, we want you, where is Dan? He should be up. Okay, you're here. All right. Dan Coughlin, who's sitting right here, was the Pacifica National News Director. He was ousted in 1999, along with a news anchor, Verna Avery Brown, in November of 1999, after the news aired a 30-second factual report on the Pacifica crisis in Berkeley. That's Dan Coughlin, who's with us. Then we have Dave sitting on the end here. Dave Adelson has been a member of KPFK's local advisory board since 1996. And the chair of that board since 1999. He is also the chief plaintiff in one of the four lawsuits against the Pacifica National Board. And then, Farah Davari, as a longtime LA activist, became a listener sponsor of KPFK, disillusioned by program changes and that were made at the station. Farah started the Pacifica Campaign Los Angeles and is a founder of the Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network. Okay, now we're going to hear briefly from all three of these speakers, and I turn it over to them.
Thank you very much, Blaise. It's great to see so many people out tonight. The last time I was here was in March of this year with Juan Gonzalez, who, as you all will remember, was the co-host of Democracy Now! With Amy, who resigned dramatically on the air, I think it was January 31st, to launch what he called a corporate campaign against the usurpers on the Pacifica board, to oust the Pacifica board and return some kind of democratization to the Pacifica radio network. And it's great to see the hall here packed out again, which is a testament to how important Pacifica is, to how important programs like Democracy Now! Are, and why we're in this struggle for a free and independent national broadcast network in the United States. Before I get started, I do want to say thank the organizers of this event. There have been many of them, and they've done another great job like they did in March, and it's wonderful that we have so many dedicated people who are willing to put aside a lot in their lives to put together a program like this evening's. When Juan spoke here in March, it was abundantly clear to many of us in the network and many in the five communities that Pacifica Radio serve, that Pacifica had in fact abandoned its peace and social justice mission, was moving rightward at a breakneck speed, and was being set up by corporate raiders for a sale of its very valuable 5 FM licenses. I won't go into all the details about some of the issues with Pacifica. You can look at a lot of the literature in the back, one of ours from the Pacifica campaign, that elucidates some of the issues about Pacifica, but I just want to tell you one little story. Blaze was talking about how Pacifica was founded, as its name suggests, as an organization to promote peace and social justice. When we were talking with a board member earlier this year, he confirmed to us that the Pacifica National Board had sought to recruit Colin Powell, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, onto the Pacifica National Board. When we talk about Pacifica moving rightward, it is not just rhetoric, friends. It's a very serious situation, and what we've seen over the years is an enormous shift in the network, moving away from Pacifica's utopian and anarchist ideals that were born out of the San Francisco Bay Area in the post-war period, that was born out of the beatniks, that was born out of the nascent gay and lesbian movement, that was born out of the conscientious objector movement in the prisons in California here during the war. That's what gave Pacifica its impetus. That's what it started from. That's what it's lived and breathed from. And today, we have a network that has been captured by corporate raiders who have moved the headquarters to the Beltway and have stacked the board with corporate executives and Democratic Party politicians in order, we think, to try to sell some of its licenses, which are valued as much as $500 million, $500 million. The idea that we had, that Juan articulated here earlier on this year at the Pacifica campaign, was very simple. Turn up the heat and cut off the water. We had to both pressure the individual board members to resign from Pacifica and to dry up the water, to cut some of the money coming into the network. Because we felt that contributing to Pacifica was like contributing directly to the coffers of the very same corporations and power brokers who the network had traditionally opposed. Let me give you an example. The Beltway PR firm of West Hill Partners, founded by PR guru John Scanlon, which has openly aligned itself with narcotics traffickers and war criminals. They've charged, the Pacifica Radio Network has hired West Hill Partners, and West Hill has charged them $230,000 for their services. Scanlon himself was known for defending Big Tobacco against whistleblowers like Jeffrey Wigand, who was depicted in the film The Insider. West Hill Partners most recently also did PR work for former U.S. Senator Bob Kerry, who was recently accused of massacring civilians in Vietnam. These are the people that Pacifica goes to get itself out of trouble, as the very same time, by the way, that West Hill Partners is representing Pacifica, they're representing Bob Kerry, and reporters like Amy Goodman and Robert Knight from WBAI in New York went to Bob Kerry's press conference and were, for asking tough questions of Bob Kerry, were berated in the national media for being insolent. And so when we see that the Pacifica executives are in bed with the very same people who are defending Bob Kerry, we have to raise some serious questions. Another example, right here in LA, Mitchell, Silverberg, and Knupp, a notorious anti-union law firm hired by Pacifica and paid $200,000 in the year 2000 alone to represent the network. They've been hired to berate and attack workers at the Pacifica network, including Amy, and I think just this year they're going to charge Pacifica more than $200,000 just for defending Pacifica against the charges from the Democracy Now! Team. I don't want to keep you too long, but I just want to say that today we're at a critical time. You'll hear more from Dave Adelson and from all the other speakers. We're at a critical juncture in the struggle to return Pacifica to its roots. We at the Pacifica campaign and the entire Pacifica reform movement have achieved one of our goals, which is the replacement of the Pacifica board, or the resignation, I should say, of all the Pacifica board officers who are on the board in March of this year have resigned thanks to our work, our struggle, us being in the streets, and we need to continue it to bring Pacifica back home to its true and authentic mission. Thank you very much.
Hi, thanks very much for coming out. I'd also like to thank those KPFK staff members who I see in the audience for also coming out. I hope this will be an interesting experience for you. It's said that Pacifica means peace, but in reality, the history, as anybody who knows it at all, is that Pacifica means conflict, and it's always meant conflict. What we're seeing now, though, for in the early years of this struggle, well, everybody traces it to a different time. When I was trying to talk to people about what I saw as a fundamental transformation of the network, I was told by people who had known Pacifica for years that there was always conflict, that there was always going to be conflict at Pacifica. But what's happened in recent years at Pacifica, dating back since at least the early 1990s, is a fundamental transformation of the concept of community radio as it was originated by Pacifica. And that has also happened throughout non-commercial radio throughout the United States. And I won't go into any detail. It takes different shapes in different places. And I'm also not going to go into detail about the political aspects of it, but there clearly is a political element to the people who have been purged. And there have always been purges at Pacifica, and the people who are there at the stations now. What I want to focus on a little bit is the conflict, and at the moment, as was mentioned, there are four lawsuits pending against Pacifica. The reason for the lawsuits and the reason for this campaign, the boycott campaign that the Pacifica campaign saw fit to initiate, is that there was no other recourse ever for anybody who had a different idea about what should happen. And I just want to play a short clip. I think it's unfair frequently to excerpt sound bites because you have to know the context, but I think this is a fair statement made by, I mean, a fair representation of the view made by Joe Dominic, a current programmer at the station, back in 1997 when the board was trying to change its bylaws. And at the root of that was this fundamental transformation to target market broadcasting that views its main job as strengthening the institution by increasing the listening time and donations of a target market. And if you're not part of that target market, you have no say. And I just want to say, play quickly what Joe Dominic had to say about the people who were opposed to that and were trying to be heard in that opposition.
There are times when process becomes the obstacle and you have to just grab the whatever it is by the scruff of the neck and say we've got to do this.
And there's been a lot of grabbing by the scruff of the neck, and the lawsuits have been the first time in this process where it's been possible to force them to let go of the scruff of the neck. Now we've gone, I won't bore you with the details, but we've gone through a long process preparing for trial for over 2.5 years now, or almost 2.5 years. The trial is set for January 7th. There's been a lot of discussion about the settlement of these lawsuits or other transitions that could solve the conflict at Pacifica. And a month ago, the litigants in the case, and the case centers around the fact that the board changed its bylaws so it elects itself completely, giving it complete control over its own composition. And in California, it's illegal to remove the voting rights of people who have voting rights for directors. But in any case, there was an attempt to mediate a settlement a month ago with a retired California Supreme Court justice. Certain members of the board of directors misrepresented to us that they had the authority to settle. We reached an agreement, and it turned out that at least a number of defendant directors had not even heard that there was a negotiation going on, so that was scrapped. At a board meeting 2 weeks ago, there was an agreement struck that would result in a transitional board whose job would be to resolve the lawsuits. I should say that is a that move was a move that the staff at the stations vehemently objected to, and they have transmitted to the local board the fact that they don't recognize us, that they see us as enemies, as hostile to their interests. And I've got 1 minute left, so I'm going to say this. That agreement has yet to be implemented. We don't know what's going to happen. We're preparing for trial in January. But what I want to say is to you, to all of you here, is that settlement of the lawsuits is not the end of the problem. And when you hear Amy Goodman back on the air, it is not the end of the problem. I want to read a statement by station staff to Amy Goodman before the last fund drive. Dear Amy, we're writing to ask for your full, unequivocal support during our upcoming fund drive. We are concerned that the past 4 months, you have signed off your show, Democracy Now!, by describing that your broadcast had come from the embattled studios of WBAI, the studios of The Band and the Fired. We are convinced that for you to continue signing off in this manner during our upcoming fund drive would not only be antithetical to our money-raising efforts, but put you squarely in the camp of those seeking to sabotage those efforts. We ask, therefore, that you stop discussing Pacifica's problems on air and do nothing detrimental to our fund drive. I want to say that the people at the station, and this is nearly unanimous because people who didn't agree are no longer at the station, you'll be hearing from some of them, nearly unanimously among the paid staff, feel that we and everybody who's trying to be heard and has been for these years about what's going on are the enemy, attempting to sabotage them, attempting to attack them. And so a settlement of the lawsuits and a return of Amy to the air should not let you stop, because unless you have a participatory relationship to the community radio station, there is no community radio station. And it means that there has to be a fair hearing and methods of fairness. And I will tell you that the people in this audience and the people you will talk to are the only guarantor of that, because the history of Pacifica is closed doors and purge after purge after purge, and it just can't survive it anymore. So I'm asking all of you to recognize that when you hear the lawsuits are settled and when you hear your programs back on the air, recognize that that is going to be seen by some as an attack and will need your presence to help cool it down and try and get to a new Pacifica. Thank you.
I'm going to move fast because I only got 2 minutes. But anyways, I'm not the founder of the Free Pacifica Network neighborhood groups. I just wanted to tell you that. I just want to tell you a little story of mine to put the importance of the listeners' organization and also saving the Pacifica in context. When my son was a baby, I lived in a country that was torn with internal war and external wars, and it was under, you know, we lived under a stage of siege. And I used to look at this helpless baby, you know, very fragile, and I used to think, if something happens to me, who is going to protect him? How is he going to be saved in this world? Well, it's 20 years past. My son is grown and independent, and I'm here in this country. But the funny thing is that I still have the same fear. I carry it with me even now. Why? Because as I look around me, all I see is war, destruction, and I unfortunately see that the general public of the largest and the most powerful country in the world has no access to the real news, so that they cannot do anything about what's happening. And that's why I feel like I need to, it's my responsibility, and I think it's responsibility of every one of you to organize and save Pacifica, because that's why we need Pacifica more than ever today. And we are going to need it to save the future of our children and the future of ourselves or of Earth. Now, that's why I like to urge you to go. These are neighborhood networks that have already formed. Listeners have come together. I would like to urge you to go to these people. These are the various areas. Please go to them, sign up when you're leaving. And if there is not an area close to you, please try to get information from them so that you could sign up for your area and start working. You know, giving 2 hours a week or 1 hour a week of your time, it's really worth to save the future of the world and of this country. Thank you.
Thank you, Farah and David and Dan. Just by the way, 2 wallets have been found, so you can please pick them up at the front desk if you lost them. You know, how important is Pacifica? Well, we live in a war system. We want to build a peace system. That is what Pacifica is about. So let's have it do what it was designed to do, to build that system to replace a worn-out war system. I'm going to introduce some of the band and the fired. Arturo Lemos, volunteer programmer for the Colectivo Latinoamericano from 1981 to 1985. And he was a coordinator for a program called Flor y Canto. The Colectivo Latinoamericano Spanish programming was dismantled by then KPFK station manager Susan Anderson in 1985. Then we have Ron Wilkins. He's a longtime activist and professor of African American studies at several Los Angeles area colleges. He was the host of Continent to Continent. And thank you. An African Issues magazine, 1983 to February 26th of 1996, he was banned for speaking on the air about African Americans and Latinos being purged from the station. Then we have Mia Iwataki. She was the host of East Wind for a 13-year volunteer program. She and her staff were purged, among other reasons, for not confining program to Asians only. Management insisted on sitting in the studio for her last program so she wouldn't criticize KPFK. And then we have Robin Yurovich. She was a long-standing freelance reporter for the Pacifica Network News and helped to organize the reporters' strike of January 2000. She was barred from the station after publishing an article critical of KPFK and Pacifica. The offending article was published in the Random Lengths newspaper. She is still a freelance reporter for Free Speech Radio News and several other public radio outlets. Well, let's hear from all of them.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I just got a few questions to ask you. Do you want Democracy Now! Back on KPFK? Yeah. Do you want democracy at KPFK? Right? Do you want a real community radio station? Yeah. Right. That's all I wanted to hear from you. Thank you.
First of all, I want to thank I want to thank and salute the organizers of this event. We've come a long way, and what tonight represents is a historic milestone, because clearly those who have hijacked Pacifica have in a sense reached the end of their rope. And we understand that changes are in the works. And there are many in the African community that feel very good about these changes. But at the same time, we're very bitter, we're very skeptical, and we are approaching everything with a great deal of caution. One of the things that needs to be clear in this new Pacifica, in the new configuration, is that African people and people of color need to exist on a level of absolute parity with every structure within Pacifica. Whether those structures have to do with the finances, the management of the station, the who gets on air, whatever the decisions happen to be, the decisions need to have input in a very real way from people of color. This, what has happened in the past, the kind of subterfuge that had gone on, the corruption that set so deeply into Pacifica, that turned off so many people, that made stations an inhospitable place for people of color, that atmosphere has to be a thing of the past. And this new Pacifica that is yet to emerge has to be a kind of organization that not only guarantees that there's parity for Africans and other people of color, but several other things need to happen. All of those that were summarily dismissed without any process, without any adherence to real principles, who were castigated in the media, defamed even on the floor of Congress in this country, all of us that were dismissed need to be returned. We need to have our programs back. Something else needs to happen, and some of you may not like what I'm about to say, but there is a large segment of the white community in this country, and even among the white left, that seeks to deny the humanity of Africans and people of color. And for that reason, they cannot fathom this notion that we're to exist in a relationship with them in an institution like Pacifica, where resources and power are shared, where we exist on a level of absolute human equality. Make no mistake about it. We're not talking about anything less than that. Anything less than that is unacceptable. And while I'm up here alone, I didn't come here alone, and I don't speak for just myself. Make no mistake about it. Something else that needs to happen is that programming for people of color is something that needs to be expanded and needs to be established in a very serious way within Pacifica. We also have grown tired of the paint jobs. And we see this in the Bush administration with Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell. That's not to happen in Pacifica. That's not what Pacifica is supposed to be about. Pacifica is supposed to be about the struggle. And yes, it means that at times, African programmers and others will criticize Israel and will criticize Zionism. And when that happens, we should not be misjudged as being anti-Semitic. You know, that kind of stuff has to stop. And yes, we should be able to air programming that featured, for example, Mohamed Farah Deed, who's one of the greatest African generals who's lived in recent times. And he's gone on to join the ancestors, but the struggle of the Somali people was one that we supported, a great many of us. And yes, it created some headaches for Pacifica, but we're in the struggle to have to experience, undergo some headaches. And for some of us, we will die. But we don't fear death. Even in this climate of fear, Pacifica should not fear saying what needs to be said on any issue that affects our people. The last thing I want to say, I don't want to take up too much time here. The last thing I want to say is that we will be looking at Pacifica very carefully, because many of us in the African community are not ready to trust an institution where corruption and deception ran so deep, an institution that as has been said, was created to be a voice for the voiceless. Who are more voiceless than the indigenous, than the African in this society? Mia Iwataki is here. The Asian community had almost no time. And Africans, as has been said from this platform before, when we were struggling and so many others sought to abandon us and distance themselves from us, we were struggling to create programming for other groups, not even to expand the programming base for the African community. So these are the kinds of changes that we need to see happen, and we're certainly prepared to put in some energy, even though we do that with a certain reluctance and, as I said, a great deal of bitterness given what has happened. I thank you for the time.
Good evening. I am one of the band in the fired, and I stand in solidarity with all of you here today. East Wind was the only weekly Asian American program, the only program that put forward the issues, politics, arts, and culture of the Asian American and Pacific Islander community. I was criticized for not having hard news. I was criticized for having a third world hip hop group that did not diss women and that talked about the historical oppression of their ancestries. I was criticized because I had Jesse Jackson's speech when he, the only presidential candidate who had ever come into an Asian community, spoke. I was criticized for having Maxine Waters or Mervyn Dimely, for having, you know, people from the Latino, Native American, and African American movement, and they kicked me off the air. And they kicked off my brothers and sisters, too. They kicked off Kwaku Lin, they kicked off Sylvester Rivers, they kicked off so many good programs, and we need to win our station back. When September 11th happened, and I watched television, all of us were glued to the television, and they started comparing it to Pearl Harbor, I said, oh no. As a Japanese American, I don't want to go there again. And there is no similarity between what happened at Pearl Harbor and the Twin Towers. But there is a similarity between the racial profiling that happened in 1941 when Americans of Japanese ancestry were put into camps. And how we see they're targeting our sisters and brothers from the Sikh, Asian Indian, all the Middle Eastern cultures, and we need voices on the air to remind people that we cannot let that type of history repeat itself. And so I stand in solidarity with all of you here. I'm proud to be one of the band in the fire because we are turning it around, we're winning it back, and I'm from the 60s, and I remember when we stood in rooms like this and said, the people united will never be defeated. The people united will never be defeated. The people united will never be defeated, and we're gonna win back KPFK and Pacifica. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Robin Yurvich. I just want to be very brief. I'm here on behalf of the 40 reporters that went on strike against Pacifica 2 years ago. And there were 40 of us then. There are now about over 100 reporters all across the world that are reporting for our alternative program, Free Speech Radio News. But I wanted to tell you a little bit about why we went out on strike. I think many people already know, but we struck at a time when the debate over the governance and direction of the station had exploded all over the place, on the major media, on the streets of Berkeley, where thousands of people went out to protest the possible sale of the station. And that debate was completely muzzled at KPFK, here where I was. The program director here told the news staff, which, you know, I didn't think she had any business doing, that the news people could only read from the Wire copy when it came to the debate about the Pacifica network and about what was going on in Berkeley. And the incident that finally made us go out on strike was when Dan Coughlin, who spoke a little while ago, was removed from his job as news director for airing a 30-second news spot about protests by affiliate stations. So we just felt that we couldn't deal with that level of hypocrisy and disrespect really to the listeners and to us as staff and freelancers. And so that's what we've done. And now our alternative show that we started as an outlet for our work airs on more than 50 stations. Many of those stations have dropped Pacifica Network News. And we think they've dropped the news partly because they're upset about what's going on with Pacifica, but more than that, because they're upset that Pacifica is really stale. And it's the Pacifica Network News, I mean, in particular, and it's produced by people who mainly sit in Washington, D.C. and, you know, read Wire stories and then make calls around the country. And what we would like to see, as it seems that Pacifica is changing and things are going to happen now, so we'd like to see a program that goes more in the direction of what we're trying to do, where people are out all over the world really reporting from the grassroots, which is what we think that Pacifica should be all about. Thanks a lot.
You've met some of the banned and the fired, and I'm one of them. I want to introduce someone who's very special, Bernard White. Bernard has accumulated 22 years of media experience. 20 years of this experience was gained as a reporter, engineer, and producer at WBAI Radio from October 1992 to December 22, 2000. Bernard co-hosted with Amy Goodman the most successful morning program in WBAI's history. After occupying the position of program coordinator for 13 months, he became the program director in April of 2000. Under his direction, WBAI experienced successive ground record-breaking fundraisers. He was fired by a messenger on the eve of last year's Christmas coup in New York. Bernard White.
Well, it certainly does seem that there are a few people interested in maintaining this network, and I'm glad that you all came out this evening. We at WBAI in New York are very much still upset about what went on, as you know, on December 22nd, in the cloak, under the cloak of darkness, people came in and just changed the locks and kicked us all off the air. And then they began to use the ear to vilify us. On the way here, I was thinking that, you know, I was accused of everything from having a harem to, Amy was part of that harem too. And also, you know, on a daily basis, they were told that that there were going to be some major announcement about what I had done, and it was coming any moment, and that people were going to be shocked, and that moment never really came. Because it was the nastiness that has descended upon Pacifica that we have all experienced. I'm one of 26 banned and fired people from WBAI, and WBAI is still suffering. But I'm going to cut my piece short because I have someone that I want to introduce. Someone who, I'll read a little bit of his bio, said a native of San Francisco, attended San Francisco State University and trained at the Black Actors Workshop of the American Conservatory, appeared in numerous stage productions including Island and Macbeth at the Los Angeles Actors Theater and Sizwe Banzi is Dead at the Eureka Theater. However, it was his performance in the New York production of Atho Fugard's Master Harold and the Boys that first brought the actor national recognition. He's working on a project now in response to the AIDS crisis in Africa, a very important project. Perhaps he'll tell you a little bit about that. We rely on him a lot. Unfortunately, he's a rare breed. He's someone who has, quote, made it, but still feels that he has to come back into society to pay a debt. I'm talking about Danny Glover.
Let me, I have never gone anywhere. I'm supposed to be right here where I am, right here at this moment. First of all, let me say that I'm a listener to KPFA in San Francisco, out of Berkeley. I've been a listener so long and a supporter so long, I don't know what to do without it. It's been invaluable. Pacifica has been invaluable to my own growth as a young man working with African Liberation Support Committee. It was invaluable to my understanding and development, Pacifica was. Not as an actor, as a human being. I heard the stories of Asians. I heard the stories of Native Americans. I've heard the stories, the key element. I'm a storyteller. That's what I do. That's what I make my living doing. And I heard those stories. I was moved by those stories. I was moved by those stories to action. We need information. We need dialogue. We need information that propels us into action more than any point in time. We need that. We need to get up in the morning and know that we're going to hear something that's going to move us in a direction that's going to move us into action, the action of change. Pacifica has been that. It cannot be any other. It cannot be anything but that. We got to struggle. This is about who's going to control information. That's all it's about. You don't buy information. You can't pay for information. The information that Pacifica brings comes from people's heart, comes from people who are working with people, seeing people, telling their stories from the grassroots. That's the information we need. That's the information we need. When I was at the World Conference Against Racism, I saw people from around the world who come to put their issues at the table, to tell their stories at the table. I was so shocked that Pacifica wasn't there. Pacifica was not there. Amy and I did it. We did an interview. We did an interview with Reverend Jesse Jackson, but Pacifica wasn't there. We need that more than ever. The world is in so much trouble. What has happened? We need to redouble our energy more than ever now. This promised to be the most difficult moment that has ever happened in my life. And it promises to be, from some of you who've been in the struggle much longer than I have, this has promised to be something more difficult than you've ever experienced. And we need that information right now. We need to talk about new relationships. We need to talk about, as Brother Ron said, we need to talk about new relationships that are based on respect, the new relationships that are based on compassion, and new dialogue that's based upon understanding. We need that now. And we cannot do it without Pacifica. It cannot happen without Pacifica. And Pacifica, it's simply an organ. It's the organ. It's the facilitator for that dialogue. You are the dialogue right here. The world is the dialogue. Our communities, which are in despair and are desperate, that's the dialogue. And we need that. We need that dialogue desperately right now. We need that dialogue. That dialogue, whether we're talking about the WTO, whether we're talking about the neoliberal policies that have devastated the world, whether we're talking about AIDS in the world, AIDS in the African American community, AIDS in the world, the emerging AIDS pandemic that's happening all over the world, we need Pacifica to be there. When we talk about the issues of indigenous people around the world, we need Pacifica to be there. When we talk about the issues of women in the world, we need Pacifica to be there. We need them to be there. It will not happen. And we have to fight. This is going to be a fight. When we talk about the death penalty in this world, in this country, we need Pacifica to be there. When we talk about the prison industrial complex in this country, we need Pacifica to be there. We need it. This is not my fight. I'm an African American standing up here. It's all of our fight. We come together here, all together, knowing that we have no option but to fight. There's no options left, you know? There's no options left. There's them, which is the mass media, plus NPR. You know what I'm saying? You know, plus there, and there are us. There are no options, really. I mean, there are no options. I can go on and talk, and you know the stories. I don't know if I'm preaching to the choir, then we have to preach to the choir, because the choir has to go out there and get some more choir members, okay? If I'm preaching to the choir, then the choir has to go out there and convert something, you know? Because we need to do the work right now. We need to do the organizing right now. And I have to bring up someone who's my hero. And I say this, I was in Paris. I was doing some project and interviewing expatriates, black artists who had gone to Paris because of the racism in this country. And I was doing an interview, and I was walking down a side street one Sunday afternoon, and I run into this woman, and she's on her way to Nigeria. She's on her way to Nigeria to do some reporting on the issues in Nigeria, certainly Chevron. Shell is enough trouble somewhere else in the world, but so it's not just laid on that. But Chevron, and we were on that, and she was about to. It was funny because I tell this story often. She had to go through her papers to make sure that she tore up papers that would be too inflammatory, so that there wouldn't be any problem going in. She's always been my hero because. When I turn on that dial at 9 o'clock, or turn up that radio at 9 o'clock, I'm gonna get some righteous information. I'm gonna get some misinformation. I'm gonna get some information that's gonna move me to action. I'm gonna understand the world a bit better. I'm going to understand the world a bit better. I'm gonna know more about what is happening a bit better because of her effort and her tenacity. You know, and that's constant. There's no let up with this woman. That's constant. It's every day, day in and day out, because she's on a mission and she believes and she has those things that we talk about in terms of integrity, in terms of respect, and in terms of compassion. Amy Goodman.
Please. You all are amazing that you have kept up with this struggle for so long. And it's for all the people who have spoken, and it's for all the people who have yet to speak on KPFK, and it's because of you that the sound barrier will be broken. And as Danny leaves to go to Washington, D.C., as he becomes chair of the board of TransAfrica, I wanted to give him the gift of Democracy Now!, and it is the tapes that were banned by Pacifica, the Durbin tapes, the program that we did, the only national daily program live from Durban, South Africa. You can get them by going to our website at democracynow.org. They include the conversation with Danny Glover and Jesse Jackson when the U.S. had gotten up and left the conference, the World Conference Against Racism. And so we present to Danny Democracy Now! In Exile, the Durban tapes.
I love you.
And then, of course, Democracy Now!, the exception to the rollers.
I want to introduce two men with the same last name and their brothers in solidarity. Donald White, where are you? There you are. And Bernard White. The two White brothers.
Separated at third.
We're actually twins who were separated at birth.
Oh my gosh, and you know, Democracy Now! In Exile is alive and flourishing. Democracy Now! Is on radio, it's on television, it's on the internet. Democracy Now! Is heard by millions of people. You may not know that Radio for Peace International, Costa Rica based shortwave, sends it to 120 countries. And if you look at how Democracy Now! In Exile is distributed on the internet, on television and radio, I have a list here of virtually every state. Democracy Now! In Exile is flourishing. And Amy has been there for us. And now it's time, I think, for us to be there for Amy.